The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
And I was mentioning that we were going to talk about Theresa May's legacy after she announced today that she was resigning. One in here, Susan, you asked what legacy Theresa May leaves behind her. Unfortunately, it's Nigel Farage. So thanks very much, Mrs. May. And that came in from John in Naas. Now, it is that topic that we're moving on to. She did confirm today she will resign as Prime Minister. She gave an emotional statement outside Downing Street earlier on today. And towards the end of her speech, Theresa May completely broke down as she spoke quite movingly about the country that she loves. Let's take a listen.
In a democracy, if you give people a choice, you have a duty to implement what they decide. I have done my best to do that. I negotiated the terms of our exit and a new relationship with our closest neighbours that protects jobs, our security and our union. I have done everything I can to convince MPs to back that deal. Sadly, I have not been able to do so. The second female Prime Minister, but certainly not the last. I do so with no ill will, but with enormous and enduring gratitude to have had the opportunity to serve the country I love.
Theresa May making that emotional statement outside Downing Street earlier on today. To discuss this, I'm joined on the line by journalist Gerry Foley and Johnny Fallon, political analyst with Carr Communications. Gerry, I might come to you first. I saw the political editor with the Sunday Times, Tim Shipman, tweet earlier on. He said, just as with Gordon Brown, Theresa May's departure was her classiest performance as Prime Minister. What did you make of that speech today?
Yeah, I think there's merit in that. She certainly gave a good speech, and you've heard the emotion in her voice and practically breaking down on the steps of number 10. I mean, she's undergone a lot, but it also has to be said that most of the misfortune has been of her own making. She's quite a stubborn politician. Once she became the leader, or despite the fact that she had campaigned, although slightly low-key, for Remain, she then almost ignored the 16.8 million people who voted for Remain and took a very hard line by going down the route of the Brexiteers, pandering to the European Research Group within her own party, and not opening up those discussions and conversations with the other parties within Westminster until way too late in the day. Now, I remember, because I was there at the time when Margaret Thatcher left with a tear in her eye, and Gordon Brown left as another failure as a Prime Minister. You've got to feel for them as individuals on that day. It's a tough, brutal game politics. But unfortunately, many people at Westminster feel she should have gone months ago. She was dragging it out, and it has ended in tears. And her legacy, I'm afraid, is one of failure.
Johnny, what do you think? You hear Gerry there mention Margaret Thatcher, and Theresa May was Britain's second female Prime Minister. How do you think maybe she compared in the eyes of the public, if you are to compare her to Margaret Thatcher?
I don't think she would have compared very favourably to Margaret Thatcher. I mean, I think Margaret Thatcher as a politician, whether you agreed with her or disagreed with her, and she was quite polarising in views at times. But one thing for sure about Margaret Thatcher, she knew what she wanted herself, and she was very determined to push a point to the very last and say to people within her own party or across Parliament or even to the British public, this is what I believe. If you back me, you back me, and that's that. And that is the mark of a true leader. Theresa May, on the other hand, was quite the opposite. It was a case of whatever I think that, you know, the people have said something, I'm not sure what they've said, but I'll try follow whatever is the loudest voice out there telling me what to do. She never really took a decisive role. We never got to know, as Gerry mentioned, she started out as a somewhat quiet Remain canvasser, then said, well, the people made a decision and it's time I implement it. But of course, nobody knew exactly what the people's decision was, and it was far more complex than that. But she made no attempt to lead that debate, to discuss that debate. She went for easy solutions, whatever was the loudest voice within her own party or elsewhere, and voices that allowed her stay in power. I think she never planned more than 3 or 4 months ahead at any point, feeling that, you know, this is how I stay in power, whose support have I got this week and next week, and that will keep me in place. And without that decisive leadership, I think her legacy will be poor, whereas Margaret Thatcher, again, has her detractors, but was seen as a strong voice. I think Theresa May will always be seen as a time when Britain needed strong leadership, needed someone to lead debate. She unfortunately didn't seem to have really strong principles of her own that she was willing to lead with.
Yeah, she certainly took one day at a time, I think. That's safe to say. Johnny, you're a PR expert. Talk to me about charisma and how important that is. Lots of people will remember the famous ABBA dance. There was a couple of other things. You know, people kind of took the mickey out of her a bit. Did she lack a certain charisma? Was that an attempt to sort of humanise her in the eyes of the public? And did it just not work?
I think it there was an attempt, and it was always a difficult job for those around her, on the PR side, because in politics there are two things you've got to sell. You've got to sell your policies and you've got to sell the personality. And policies go a certain amount on their own, and you can debate them and the rights and wrongs of them, but in busy lives people can't get the time to look at every detail of a policy. So it ends up being that they trust someone a little bit and they need to feel they connect with that leader who's telling them, this is it, trust me, back me on this. And we feel that personal connection. So very much that's what politicians aim for, to create that, to reach out to people and say, look, even if you don't get the entire policy, trust me with this. Theresa May never managed to get there at all. I think time and time again, she was seen as quite a cold person. She was quite detached. Even within her own cabinet, all the accounts from it were that she tried to put people between herself and her ministers to stop getting those really strong personal relationships at cabinet. Sometimes leaders like those very evocative moments in cabinets weren't happening in the same way at Theresa May as they may have previous leaders. And I think that was always, she was at one remove. She was never able to let go. And typified, I think, by the ABBA moment, by the dancing, where she tries to convey something human, something normal that people do, and it was just a disaster because all people saw was somebody who really not only couldn't dance, because few enough politicians can dance, but really had no idea of even how to dance badly and carry it off. And I think it seemed particularly cruel at the time, but it was an attempt to reach out to people and show a human side, but I don't think the public could ever relate to her on that level.
Gerry, let's talk about the nuts and bolts of this for a minute in terms of when she officially finishes up in her role and who are we likely to see succeed her?
Well, firstly, just Johnny was spot on in terms of the fact that she was quite a self-contained personality, a politician who didn't care much for making small talk, having to build alliances and relationships with other MPs. So we know she's going on Friday, stepping down as leader on Friday, June the 7th. And what a horrible week to actually have to fulfill your last week of full-time engagements as leader of the Conservative Party, because that's the week that Donald Trump is around. And could you imagine having to spend all that time with a guy who's going to be gloating and probably wouldn't be the most sympathetic of allies in your moment of need? So she says that on June the 7th, and the contest starts. They're trying to speed it up a little bit, despite the fact that we have a plethora of potential candidates. How many of them will actually get to the starting gate, and the weeks after that remains to be seen. But the idea is that by the end of July, the new Conservative Party leader, and therefore the new British Prime Minister, should be in place. And again, when Johnny was talking about the what is the gold dust that leaders have to have in the age of being able to sell their policies, but sell themselves as the credibility factor and the likability factor that people believe. And that's why Boris Johnson is the front runner. Now, when it comes to credibility, I think his stock has been damaged over the last few years. Yes, he surprised everyone by the Conservative elected mayor in a Labour-dominated city like London, but he wasn't very successful as the Foreign Secretary. His campaign to be the leader last time fell apart almost from the moment it started. And he brings a lot of personal and political baggage with him. And there's a group, believed to be by the number of about 100 Conservative MPs, who form part of this group called Anybody But Boris. He is still the favourite, but he would still be a controversial choice for many Conservative MPs. But if he gets into the final two and gets to the people who actually will decide on the new leader, and that's the Conservative Party membership, about 100, 120,000 people in total, he would still be the clear favourite.
And Gerry, when will we know who the new leader is? When will that all happen?
Well, the expectation is that it would be sometime in July. I can't be more precise because the Conservative Party can't be more precise. The way in which it works is that you only have to have two MPs to propose you, so you could have a lot of people participating in the week beginning June the 10th. They only vote on Tuesdays and Thursdays at Westminster in this Conservative
And they keep whittling them down then, get rid of
and
the
then
one.
And then you whittle it down until you get to the last two standing, and then they go to the Conservative leadership. But those two in the final selection will have to have hustings and debates all up and down the country. But the hope is, and the expectation is, that it can be done by the middle of July, mid-10 July, before Parliament breaks for the summer recess.
Johnny, what do you make of Boris Johnson and, I guess, his PR?
I think, you know, Jerry has hit the nail on the head when he says that, you know, Boris Johnson is popular, but his credibility has been damaged. And I think it has been damaged both within the Conservative Party and at the public at large. But if you were to look at somebody within the Conservative Party that certainly is going to get attention and is going to be able to create an image around himself, he's very good at doing that. I think the big challenge for whoever goes in, though, is that, you know, you can change leaders, but it's not going to change the position they find themselves in and the position the Conservative Party finds itself in. And the real challenge, and this is where maybe Boris Johnson would be someone who could pull it off, the only hope they have is that whoever manages to take over is able to come back and blame Theresa May and say, look, unfortunately, she has tied us into a deal that we can't really work
around. But that
won't
make Europe move. That's not going to be enough to make Europe concede anymore.
No, absolutely not. That's the point. I think Europe will not concede, will not give in. I think he can go over, or whoever is a leader will go over. They'll visit Europe, they'll come back. But I think their line when they return to the UK after their first EU meeting needs to be that they blame Theresa May for having got them into a deal that they can't get out of, really, for having handed it away to the EU, but say, look, it's OK, we'll take the deal, let's sort it all out in phase two of the negotiations and get the trade deal. And I, as a new leader, will be well able to do us a better deal in phase two. The backstop will never happen because we'll get our deal. And I think that might get them over the line and might get them a tough sell, but then there are no easy options for the new leader.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Journalist Jerry Foley and Johnny Fallon, political analyst with Carr Communications, joining us on the day that Theresa May confirmed that she will resign as the British Prime Minister. She did give an emotional statement outside Downing Street earlier today, and she will be gone by June the 7th. I, for one, hope that she puts herself into a vat of wine and goes on some sort of a holiday after the last couple of months.